G'day everyone, just finished an episode with Ash from Maths. You might remember him as one of the intruders who was married to Maddie. She was having a bit of a download. Remember that guy freaking out? Yeah, that's the guy. We unpacked a whole bunch of things about his backstory, about his life. He's actually living in Thailand and speaks Thai. Would you believe that? And of course, we unpack a lot of Married First Sight, what it's like, a lot of behind the scenes, and of course, life moving forward. Hope you enjoy the episode.
G'day, Ash. How you going, mate?
Going well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for teeing this up. We were meant to be at 4:30 now. It's 2:30 now. It's bloody 2 o'clock now. Yeah, but we finally teed it up. So, yeah. And you are the first person I made a podcast with since the show. So, thank you and congrats.
No worries, mate. Who would have thought good guy is friends with villain? How does it happen?
Am I the good guy? You're the villain?
Depends who you ask.
Hey, I know.
How does that happen? I don't know. How does that happen, mate?
Well, maybe there's more to what meets the camera.
Yeah.
That's what's been my biggest feedback. Like, I want to make this about you, but yeah, a lot of people that know me watched the show and thought, what the fuck? Like, you don't really sound like that. And then, yeah, same with podcasts. They're going, yeah, this is more like the real Ben. This is how you talk. And yeah, I just got like that. Yeah. Unfavorable edit, let's just say.
Yeah, I think it did, mate, unfortunately. But
tell me about it. But in your case, you were on the show at a very short time, and I've got to know you a lot post the show. And it's a bit of a shame because I reckon you're such an incredible human, and that's one of the reasons for this podcast, because I remember your backstory. It was pretty impressive, pretty impactful. I think all of Australia just sort of fell in love with you straight away. But I'd just like to really learn about who is Ash. You know, could you tell, I think your last name, I can never bloody pronounce it. It's an Italian background. Can you tell me how you grew up?
Absolutely. So grew up in a big family. Dad's Italian, mum's Scottish English. So big family, seven brothers and sisters. So a lot of us running around, fairly normal childhood, so to speak, in terms of just siblings, that sort of thing. We didn't have a lot of money, but we weren't dirt poor, so it was kind of that middle, let's say middle class. Does that, I don't even know if that gets used anymore.
No, it does.
Say middle class family.
And
yeah, middle class family.
Yep. You're in Victoria, in Melbourne.
Victoria, yep. So we're all fairly close. Then mum and dad obviously broke up, and then I went to live with dad for majority of my teenagehood. I was a bit of a rebellious, bit of a naughty kid, you could say.
What'd you get up to?
Up to no good.
What were you doing?
I didn't get caught for anything, so that's good. that always helps. But just your rebellious, non-law-abiding type teenager. But, yeah, didn't do anything too crazy. So that was fairly, yeah, type normalish. Upbringing. I was in a long-term relationship from 15 till 25, and this obviously didn't get told in my backstory for whatever reason. And then I was 25.
Yeah,
hit 25. Bit of heartbreak. There was definitely a lot of heartbreak. It came from nowhere from my side. Like, I just wasn't expecting. You know, when you're with someone for so long, you just think it's going to be like that forever.
Yeah, so you so 10 years, and you were you like years. In the same year at school?
I was 2 years older, 2 years older than her, but it was from 15 to 25, and then we broke up in my mid 20s, obviously, and then I was like, oh, shit, like, what do I do now? Like, what road do I go down? And I was quite a confused. You could say young man. I was like, I don't know what road I'm going to go down. I was hanging around the wrong people. And I was like, you know what? I have two choices here, kind of like a sliding doors moment. It's hang around the wrong people, do drugs, go down the wrong path, end up, God knows where. Or I can pack everything up and go to Thailand. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. It sounds like that's the right path for me. So sold everything I had. Went to Thailand, initially was just going to backpack for a year, 2 years, party, live it up. Arrived in Phuket, was walking to the bar, and this is kid you not, this is exactly how it went. And I walked past the Muay Thai gym because I always did a bit of boxing in my teenagehood, but never like the full Muay Thai. So I walked past the gym and I heard the pads smashing and the kicks, and I was like, oh, what's that? Like, what are they doing? And then popped my head in and then asked the trainer, I'm like, hey, like, what's going on here? Like, how do you train? And then like, yeah, come tomorrow. You can come tomorrow. And I went the next day and fell in love. And I was like, yeah, this is the path for me. I want to live in Thailand. I want to train. I want to fight. And that's the path for me.
Damn.
So I needed to stay there, right? So you can only, because you can only get a 3-month visa. So I was like, how do I stay here for like long periods of time? And so I looked into a language visa, and there was one available, but you have to obviously study Thai. So I studied Thai and I learned, picked up the language and learned the culture, which was awesome.
All right. There's a few things I'd love to be able to unpack, but I want to go back. Firstly, if you don't mind me asking, you were 15, teenager. You said you were hanging around with the wrong types of crowds.
Yep.
Like, I mean, these like drug dealers, criminals, were they the sort of shit kickers, bogans? Like, how bad are these people?
They're pretty bad. Like a few of them are like in jail now, and just, yeah, there was just a lot of things going on that shouldn't have gone on. And I'd seen that and I was like, no, like it's the sliding doors moment, Ben. It's kind of like, do I go down this path or do I go down that path? And I was like, I don't want to be this person. I'm a better person than that. Not saying I'm better than them, but I wanted more from my life. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go down this path. So I made a conscious decision to not go down the wrong path.
That's good. You're self-aware that, how old were you before you started to realize, hang on, these are the wrong type of people?
Well, I mean, at that age, it was, yeah, it's hard because I don't know, like if my brain wasn't fully developed or what was going on. But it was definitely when I hit my mid 20s, I was like, yeah, like if I'm starting to do old habits again because I'm going through a bit of pain or I'm going through a bit of heartbreak, then it's not going to end well. And I knew that, so I needed to get myself out of Melbourne and go to Thailand.
Why was that it? Why was Thailand the calling?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a great question. Don't know. Like, I just seen people backpacking and living the dream and Leonardo DiCaprio in the beach. I think I watched that. I was like, this looks all right. Might find a deserted island. I was just calling me. So I was like, I'm just going to go there. But I didn't know the path that I was going to take. But I just knew I had to be there. And that's when Muay Thai came up.
So that was your savior. So you had all maybe this energy when growing up of, you know, trying to escape all these bad people, bad vibes, bad situation, but you're able to immerse yourself into kickboxing. Or was it kickboxing that got you? Was it like because it was Thai, like a completely different culture, you know, a different way of living?
I think a combination of, yeah, both things. And, yeah, just a definitely a combination of the culture and just, yeah, totally different to how I've ever lived. And I 100% immersed myself in the Thai culture. Like I lived with the Thais, ate with them, drank with them, like had fights with them. So just, yeah, definitely immersed myself. And it was the craziest 2 years that I've ever done. Like it was absolutely madness, some of the things that went on.
All right. So I remember meeting you, months ago, and we were talking about that. You said, like, mate, I speak like Thai at like 80%. And it fucking blows me away, dude. Like, it's not like, I mean, I'm trying to learn German and there's similarities. Like, you can sort of read out German and sort of make sense of it from English. Yeah. But fuck, man, like, Thai is so complicated in comparison. How did you pick it? Can you read it? Or can just speak it?
No, I can't read it. I don't think a foreigner, Falang, as we say, will ever be able to read Thai. But yeah, there's different dialects, and yeah, it was, as I said, to stay in the country, I needed a way to stay in there. So I found this like little loophole where it's, you get a language visa, and you study once a week. You go there for 2 hours. And then you get approved. But the thing is, they're super strict. So, like, if you don't attend class, like, your visa gets cancelled. That's how strict they are.
Damn. So, how long did you say? It was about 2 years.
2 years. What? So, it was 2015, 2016. Then I came back. So, obviously, I had about five fights over there, and I got knocked out in my last one, and I was like, yeah, that's probably it for me. Like, I probably need to come back. The family was starting to worry, like, is he actually going to make it back here? So I came back, and I've gone back twice a year ever since.
It's your home away from home. I mean, you were just recently there, right?
Yep, I just got back. Yeah, just got back. I had 2 weeks there. It is my home away from home.
All right, so you had a pretty, you know, working class, mixing with wrong kids growing up, right? You then followed on to, well, what were you doing for jobs? Like, I mean, you said you didn't go there, you're like 25. Like, I don't think you mentioned you went to uni. What did you do for like 7 years?
Yeah, so just odd jobs. So I'd started in pest control, and I hated pest control. And then I got a job in a prison. Yeah, I got a job in a prison. Didn't like that. Hated that.
Which one?
Yeah. Not maximum security in Melbourne, Victoria, Port Phillip. I think I lasted 3 days. I was like, this is absolutely wild.
For 3 days?
We're learning the ropes. So we're just, learning to be a prison guard. But this is a long time ago. This was like when I was 22. So I lasted 3 days. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be around this every day. So I was an arborist. I worked in a pet. So I did just odd jobs, just did everything. So I was a bit lost, didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah. But I guess the positives right there, like, I find those people who do go to multiple different jobs, multiple different careers, you got a lot of experience of a broad scope of things, but you figure out what's shit, what's bad, what's good. Everyone's sort of self-discovering for the most part, a lot in their 20s anyway, and truly in their teens. So, like, you know, you've got all that life experience where you know what's good and what's shit.
Well, exactly. And you don't, if you don't go to uni or you don't get a trade, like, it's like, what do? You don't want to get like left behind. I tried a variety of jobs and did a bit of everything.
And then 25, you come back in 27. How did you sustain yourself for 2 years? Were you working in Thailand?
No. So just I saved up everything I had, sold everything, and we'd get paid to fight. So I had all my savings, and then you'd get maybe back then like $200-$300 Aussie a fight, which is not much. So then that would obviously last. You could make it last, I don't know, 2 months, and then you'd have to fight again and try and get no injuries, and then just repeat the cycle. So as I said, I was living like a Thai would. That was the whole. Like self or like I want to live like a Thai. Like I don't want to live like a foreigner and eat acai bowls and do all that. I want to like definitely live like the Thais.
Yeah, but that goes a long way. Like I mean, I haven't lived there for a couple of years, but I've been to Thailand 3 or 4 times. But each time was like for a few months at a time, and like I got a pretty good flavor of it. Yeah, but that goes a long way. You know, I'd say living like a local. But where were you? Where in Thailand were you?
So I was a bit of a gypsy. So I originally went to Phuket, and then I moved gyms to Bangkok. From Bangkok, I went to Koh Phangan, then Koh Samui. Then I went up to Chiang Mai, to Pai. Then I went to Isan, which is very rural. So I went literally everywhere and just tried different gyms and tried different areas. But probably my favorite, it's probably my favorite place, Koh Phangan, which is where the full moon party is. But yeah, a lot of crazy things happened at that gym. A lot of crazy things that
I remember. I actually went to some Thai kickboxing in Koh Phangan. I've been there a few times. Yeah, like full moon party. I went to a quarter moon party, half moon party. I worked at a backpackers there for like fucking a month. You know, sort of bouncing around. So
it's a good spot.
Yeah, dude, it's bloody. It is paradise. Like I remember just taking a bit of time out. Just getting away from the bar and went to this like secluded little area, and there's this wild pig coming out, and this girl from Israel just goes, "Hey man, you want a joint?" So I got the afternoon off. Yeah, let's fucking smoke this bad boy. And then this pig just come out of the water, and I didn't know if I was stoned or if that was actually happening. But I was so fucking high, looking at these pigs coming out of the water, like the fuck am I?
But that's have you worked out, were they real or were they not real?
No, it was real. Like it flopped at my feet, and the owner of the pig, you know, if you will, and said like, "Ben, just start patting it with your foot." And I could barely move. I was like so stoned. I'm like, "Fuck, what do I do?" And started patting it. Didn't eat bacon for like 6 months after that. I had this like, It was the most adorable.
Oh, don't,
pig
mate. Let's not. Don't get started on. Don't get started on the no eating meat. You've set me up here. You've set me up.
Yeah, but it did.
At least you had an excuse. At least you had an excuse why you didn't want to eat it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's baked good, in my brain.
Yeah, it was legal. It's fully legal there now, right? I don't know if you've been back. It's bizarre. Like, you used to end up in jail, and now it's like, yeah, there's weed stores every second shop.
Yeah, I was so fucking paranoid because I know the laws around drugs are so bloody severe. Where that's one of the reasons I was paranoid so much. I was like, it was in my head, like, I'm gonna get arrested, you know. You know, be on that show, Banged Up Abroad or something.
Yeah, literally, yeah, Chappelle of Thailand.
And so what happened? So you're about 27, because how old are you? 20, yep. You're 32, 33 now?
Keep going, 34, but thank
34,
you.
34, sorry. All right, so there's a good 7-year gap.
Yeah.
So when you come back, I mean, I know you're doing quite well, kicking some goals in pest control and, like, sales or, like, business development aspects. But how did you – what happened? What happened in this period?
So, yeah, I came back and it took me quite a while to get into the swing of things, like back in like a Western country. So like I think I was institutionalized in Thailand, which sounds a bit weird. So like I came back and I was like, oh, like, yeah, I don't know if like I fit in to this like society anymore. Like I feel like I'm an alien. Like I don't feel like a part of society. And like every aching thought was like, I just want to get back to Thailand. I want to get back to Thailand. I needed money. So I was like, all right, I'm going to just do back to pest control. So I went into pest control just as the technician. So I did that probably for 4 or 5 years. Probably 4 years. And then I was like, yeah, I probably want more out of my like career. And I knew I was good at like obviously talking to people. And I knew pest control. So I was like, I want to get into sales. How do you get into sales? Well, a lot of companies, they want you to have 2 years experience in sales. Like, how do you get that when you're just starting out? So anyway, I found a company that would give me a chance and jumped on board and went full steam ahead and got into sales and absolutely love it. It's probably the best job I've ever had. I love my customers. I work for a good company. We sell a good product. I feel like I'm giving you a sales pitch here. But yeah, so got into sales and then coming back to my personal side, okay, like what do I want? Like I want a partner. Everything else is aligning.
Can I ask, like when you're traveling Thailand or even in your early 20s, were you, 10-year relationship, were you mostly single in that period?
Yeah, so I had like situationships, And again, this didn't get brought up in my backstory in maths, but like I was kind of like one foot in, one foot out, like because I just didn't want to get hurt again. I was just like, fucking, I'm not going to get in a relationship and get heartbroken again. So just one foot in, one foot out. So if something did happen and something went wrong, I could go, oh, well, I wasn't really in this relationship anyway. You can't hurt me, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard it before. Similar stories that went on the show, right?
Yeah.
And then you can bring me back a bit. So I'm jumping ahead a bit. Then like Mass came along and all my family loves the show, watches the show. I don't really watch it. But I have seen some episodes and we all kind of sound very similar, us contestants, you know. We don't watch it, we don't know anything about it. But what I can say is I wasn't a diehard. I wouldn't sit down every Monday night and watch it. But I'd seen some episodes. So that came along, applied. I was like, fuck, they're not going to ring me. Like, I was like to my sister, I'm like, they're literally not going to ring me. Like, you're crazy. Next day, I got a phone call. I was like, oh shit, like, there's a producer. I was like, you're like, they rang me. I was like, shocked. They rang me and they liked my story.
Do you remember what you said? Like, sorry, I remember during the application process, you got to make a 60 second video or something, or up to. Do you remember what it was? Yeah, like, must have done something that stood out.
No, I've still got that. I've still got that audition tape. I'll have to send it to you. It is literally the worst audition tape in the history of audition tapes. I couldn't even string a sentence together. I was like, I have no idea why they've like rang me back. I was in my car, in the work car. I was like, oh yeah, I'm looking for love and like I want to, and I couldn't string it sentence. And I've sent it to like my cousins and they're like, we have no idea how they've rang you back. But whatever reason, they were interested. And that was last year, the following year. So I went through a lot of the application and then didn't hear anything back. I was like, oh, that's pretty shitty. Like, far out. Like, you go through that whole thing and
How
it's
far
quite
did you get?
extensive. Oh, I reckon I was nearly probably maybe getting the blood test and then on. So blood test on. So ring finger sized up, all that. All the psychological tests done, everything done. So I reckon it was just blood test and then on.
You know, I think I mentioned before, like I was the same, but 3 years in a row. But yeah,
Yeah.
same thing.
And it can.
Like, yeah. So if you are listening at home, like what the process is, long story short, you do like your application. And I think what really stands out is your video. And then if you do a really great impression on the video, then they'll lead to like maybe Zoom chats. Is that what happened for you?
Yeah, but mine wasn't a great video. I can
Well, you must have
definitely
done
assure
something,
you.
mate.
I can send it to you and you can upload a link for it
Well, it
for
must have been a great one because you got on the show. So,
I don't know if it was just so ordinary that they're like, this guy is so just a normal guy that we want that. I don't know what you don't know what they're looking for. You really don't know what they're looking for. And people applying now, like for this year's match, like I don't know. Maybe this year they want a firefighter. Maybe they want a laptop technician that, do you know what I mean? We don't actually know the criteria they're looking for.
Well, maybe, yeah, like. Maybe Maddie might have been first cab off the ranks because like she appeared like a bit Jats crackers and you seem such a level head. So that might have been the stitch up of the mismatch. You know, like who's a level head that can, you know, if you can grind your way and adapt, well, maybe not grind is the right word, adapt to Thailand for a couple of years by yourself. And as I said, got great communication skills as a result to transition into sales. That type of personality might be able to adapt and transition in around the Jats Cracker Maddie. You know what I mean? That could be the magic formula.
I've never thought of it that way. And yeah, absolutely. Potentially it might have been that. Like I don't know. But in saying that and still on Maddie, like because everyone asked me, they're like, oh, like, was she really the way she came across on TV? And I was like, well, yes, she was. And they're like, oh, do you think you were stitched up? Do you think you were just there to get laughed at? And the honest answer is I don't know, but I don't think, like, I think it was, yeah, she's a bit quirky, she's a bit out there, but I don't think what they had witnessed was what they had envisioned. And I'm talking the producers and the whole setup. So they had started to see things unravel, and they're like, she wasn't like this in the interviews. Like, this is, yeah, next level, if that makes sense.
I think what it could have been is a publicity stunt. Like, obviously, I think I spoke to her for about 5 seconds in total. I was like, "Hi, how are you?" And then she's off. She was like, "Bye." That's all I was able to obtain in terms of like who she is and what she's there for. But when you look back at the show, it's like, holy fuck, man. Like, it really seemed like she was just possibly doing a publicity stunt.
Well, you got to look at it from production land. So you have to see what had happened before the intruders came on. So there was, I can't even remember. So what was the biggest scandal? Oh, it was Jack and the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, so to speak. And then second or third dinner party. I don't know. Was there really any drama that or.
Sorry, we do a Zoom chat. I just had a thing pop up. Sorry,
Oh,
dude.
sorry, what? Wasn't a ghost.
No, no. Oh man. Yeah. Like, so you're talking about the third dinner party, like all the what
Yeah, so
you
like
walked
because I'm
in.
talking before me and Maddie had came on. What I was trying to like get at is like they knew the show needed something different that was going to get eyeballs on it, and I think that's where we fell into it.
Did you, so you applied the previous year and then you just got a, I think you had like fucking no time, like a
5 days,
week to
yeah.
back. So you were sitting on the back burner. They must have picked her, you know, having an edge with home and away and thought, who can plug this hole real quick that fits that mold, fits that story?
Well, we don't know. They may have had her and someone else already lined up, and then that person has pulled out, and they're like, "All right, whose application do we have here?" Because as you know, you're on files. What the viewers don't know is we're kept in the dark. We don't know anything. They don't tell us anything. We still don't know anything. We're told nothing, right?
Totally.
We had,
I must
yeah,
admit,
totally.
Like that that dinner party, do you remember there was me, you, and Jaden? Like we're having a bit of a chat. Yeah, no,
yep.
that made airtime, hey. Like you
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So much of what occurred. And I thought for sure this is gonna make TV. I thought it would be gold. Like you're pretty bloody honest and just giving it to us fucking straight how crazy the whole experience was. And I'm thinking
Well, I
it
think
can't
from
be
yeah,
that.
from
Yeah.
yeah,
But
well,
it
I
fucking
remember looking
was.
at you. I vividly remember looking at you, and you were sitting there, and I think all you said was, "How was your honeymoon?" And I'm like, "Well, it wasn't great. She was fucking hearing voices, and she was crying over cows." And I remember you looking like, "Sure," like you didn't say it, but you had that look. You're like, "Surely not. Like, is this
Yeah.
guy for real? Like,
Yeah.
can't
Yeah.
be that bad, right?"
Yeah.
And then, well, none of the other couples knew what had gone on. And then it's funny that you guys all guys and girls watched it all, and then you're like, "Oh shit, that actually did happen." I remember him telling me that.
I remember, like, there's always fucking two sides to every story. And I, you know, it's getting yours. You know,
Yeah.
as soon as someone goes, "Oh, she's crazy," I was like, "Nah, she can't be that crazy. No way." And then just watching is like, "No, nah, she's fucking crazy." Like, I
It's like,
felt,
how did you?
oh, you
Yeah, you
know,
can't actually
yeah.
like describe it. It's so weird. And like, I don't know if you remember it. So at that dinner party, everyone's asking me, "Oh, how's it going? How's your honeymoon?" And like, when it's going shit, what do you say? What do you actually like? What do you say to that? Like, "Nah, it's going great. It's going like, it's going shit. It was
Could be
going shit."
going
I'm like,
better. Yeah. Like, how do you? I'm not the person. I'm terrible at giving soft language. I can be too blunt sometimes. You're asking the wrong person.
yeah, well, I was like, "Well, it's like I didn't say anything derogatory about it. I didn't really bag her. I'm just like, well, it's going for absolutely fucking shit. I've come all this way and I had the fucking worst honeymoon, like in the history of honeymoons."
Yeah, man. I really felt for you that situation, but. Yeah, I can't. It was such a long time ago, trying to remember exactly the words that was speaking me out on the couch, just unpacking it. But I just do remember, like,
I don't actually remember what I said, but I just remember you guys like asking me what had happened. I don't even know how we went out there. Like, I think maybe too many beers for me. But yeah, I remember Jaden came and grabbed me, and then you were there. But yeah.
Just letting it unpack, getting the whole side of the story, and then, but I never spoke to Maddie at all. But I thought, oh, you know, this. Get the other side, see what the version of events are. But I feel you, dude. I really feel for you in that regard.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, if you get too like stuck in the like, yeah, it has popped in my obviously like my thought process, like, "Oh shit, like my experience was totally shit. Like I didn't get to go through the whole thing. I didn't get to go to couples retreat. I didn't get to go to another dinner." Like, yeah, you can get stuck being negative, but you just have to roll with the punches, right? Like, do you know what I mean? It is what it is. Like, yeah, that it wasn't great. I come out of it like, yeah, with my morals, integrity, I've met some cool people. So like that's how I have gotten through that.
Yeah, man, you're taking the wins out of it. Like when you compare your experience to everyone else of maths, yeah, you might feel a bit shortchanged. On the other hand, you made maths of the fucking thousands of people that apply for it.
Right. And I remember you telling me at the pub, this is something that just stuck out to me. You said to me, like, "Hey, you know when you watch a movie, you always remember that explosion scene in the middle part of the movie, and then you watch it, but you always remember that, but you can't remember anything else that had happened." And that is so true for me and Maddie. So many people remember us two, from the season, and then they forget like all the other things that happened, but they always remember like the cow scene. They always remember the spirits at the dinner party scene. Everyone remembers that. And you said that without having seen that footage. So that just, it stuck out for me.
Yeah, like if you watch any sort of long series or just even like a movie that goes for 3 hours, like comedy films, I think go for about 90 minutes because you physically just can't continually laughing for more than 90 minutes. Like your body just can't do it. So comedy writers need to factor that in the equation where like a big 3 hour long epic film like Gladiator or Forrest Gump or Shawshank Redemption or you know what I mean? Like Schindler's List, maybe. Like you can only cry for so much and be like, oh my God. But see, you need to be picked up and there needs to be
Yeah.
some humor. And then you go, oh, I feel good. And then back to the drama. And it takes you on that long-winded roller coaster. And I think when you look at the story of Maths, like it all starts glamorous. Like these are the new couples, like these are the new heroes. Yeah. And then the drama starts and then it's like, and then people's watching at home thinking, I can't literally cry or be angry at fucking Jack. I need some humor. And then they looked at your situation coming in to keep it fresh. Or that's maybe what they got, you know, Intruders just to, hey, keep it fresh. And then the spotlight retracts from the main people. And I think you were a part of that. You were a part of that explosive, but fuck, it was funny, dude. Like watching you, like they showed you what the fuck, like five or 10 times. And each time I watched it, like that fucking made me laugh. That fucking made me laugh. That, you know, I was copping a beating around that time. Like, oh, that poor Ben got, oh, fuck. Oh, that made me laugh. That was, and then back to the fucking sorrows again. Yeah. So that's my sort of take on it. But yeah, I want to interview some people who actually make TV shows or make films. So to try to unpack the actual psychology as to how films or shows created, because then we can actually learn, because everyone's like trying to blame the edit point, but there are stories. You know, I don't know if you remember, but I remember speaking to people, I was getting emails to send video and footage content, and their job title, it says story producer. Like that's their title.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you've seen your producer. They've constantly got four phones going. I don't know who they're speaking to, but they're constantly on the go. I don't know if there's a big like green board of just like so many potential things that can happen. This is how I think it works in production. Now, I might be totally wrong. So like they've got a big like board set up, and they've got Ben and Ali, let's just say you two, for instance, here. Like what can potentially go wrong if they go this way, if Ben makes this decision, what's going to go up there, then et cetera, et cetera. And they're just constantly like, how can we just shift things, move things, create drama, create controversy, create laughter? Do you know what I mean? Like they're just constantly about ways to do that.
Ash, we're on Zoom. And like I said before, I've invested $0 in this podcast, including my subscription with Zoom, which is the free version. So we're about to cut out in about a minute. So I'm going to end it, but I'll send you another link. We'll pick it up. Because, mate,
done.
I've got shitloads more to talk about. It's barely been scratched.
Done. Done. I'm going to turn it.
And we're back to recording. Shout out to the listeners. I'm just here to promote a podcast. That's why I'm here.
I thought you do it full time.
Fuck, man. Like, this is episode number 31, and my first episode was 2019. And I did this before the show. I did a podcast with a guy called Anthony Preston, who's the host for Too Hot to Handle, some American reality TV show. And I met this guy in Europe. He was one of my passengers, and we just stayed connected. And at the end of the podcast, he's like, dude, like, tell me, like, he's just ripping on me. He's like, hang on, you're doing it on Zoom. You've got this microphone's given to me. I've got this lighting, which has been recycled. I've got it on my computer. I've got my computer stacked on books and everything. So I've invested $0. My logo was done by a mate of mine. And then the first episodes that I made was all at a friend's house for a studio. In other words, I've invested $0 in this podcast, and hence why I've got the free version. I've got a thing, unless I'm getting sponsored, that's it. Yeah. It's still going to be my hobby. If I'm getting paid for it.
Well, after this episode, you'll get sponsored. You'll be getting paid.
Fuck, who knows? I just do it for fun, man. I literally love meeting interesting people. And, man,
I'm glad you find me interesting. Yeah. Speaking of interesting, I'm digressing a lot here, but have you watched the thing on Netflix, Baby Reindeer?
I've been watching bits and pieces with Aileen.
Wow. What the hell? Or like I said, what the fuck, man?
What swear on
you? Yeah, that is a crazy TV show, no?
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't been like, I've been watching it sort of been on my phone, like catching up bits and pieces, but it is fucking freaky. Like, I love the part, the comedy aspect where he's gone on the comedy show and he's met that senior sort of mentor comedian where it gets a bit fucking freaky deaky in the toilets. That's where I'm about up to.
It's the whole show is just blows your mind. Like every episode is just like, what is going on? And apparently it's true story, right?
Yeah, she's coming out in some interviews. So I'm not up with it yet. I'm a bit behind the story of catching up with that one, but that's what I mean. As much as would I hang out with them in real life? No, but is they fucking interesting? Yep. And everyone on Maths has got an edge to their why they're interesting. But why do you think you're of the fucking tens of thousands of people sitting on something like over 50,000 people on file or something like that? And it's like 10,000 people applied over years. Like, have you looked in the mirror and thought, why did I make it? What is my, what's the edge?
Absolutely. I often think that, and I didn't really understand how big the show was until I started getting recognized. I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, holy shit. I can't even walk in a supermarket. You know, when like the week that I was airing and all those things happened, like it was just absolute chaos. The amount of times I was recognized, I was like, a lot of people watch this show. Like it was fully took me off guard. It actually took me off guard. But yes, back to your question. I look in the mirror and I'm like, how on earth did they pick me? And I didn't get to sit with it. So like obviously I didn't have a lot of time when I was told that you're on. And it's all exciting at the start, as you know, like finding outfits and like, oh yeah, I'm gonna wear this, I'm gonna wear that, I'm gonna get my wedding suit, and it's all fun. But it becomes not so fun very, very quickly, right? But yeah, why do they pick me? I have no idea, mate. I have no idea why they picked me.
Well, I can give you my theory. Well, go. You're confident in front of the camera. You're articulate. You're not monotone like Jono. You actually speak with a lot of melody in your voice and excitement. You got a lot of body language. Like I ask you a question. Yeah, okay. And you're not sitting there like this, but like you got energy.
Yeah.
So maybe that, and you got the balls to go to Thailand. Well, then you got the balls to, well, in fact, you know, enter the ring and get knocked out. That's a tremendous amount of courage to be able to step up and do that. So maybe they think, well, hang on, Ash has got the courage to walk down the aisle and marry a random person.
Because
has a lot of resilience, perhaps. Well,
and it sucks that like I couldn't, my personality wasn't on the show for Australia and the world to see. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like, yeah, you were there, you were the guy, we loved your facial expressions. You're so nice. This is not self-proclaimed. This is what people have told me. You're so nice and et cetera, et cetera. But we love the way, your facial expressions, but no one really knows Ash. They don't know my story. They don't know my personality. They don't know anything really about me. And that sucks that I didn't get to come out on Maths, but it will come out. And that's why I'm doing these pods and getting my side of the story out and getting my personality out there.
Yeah, man. It's like, you're such a nice dude. But on first impressions, look at you and you scare the shit out of me, mate. You got all these fucking tattoos, you're straight out of prison. But when you get to know
I got stitched up. So this is, I haven't told you this. So like on my vows, I said I was just a fuck boy, right? Like, but you can't say that. So they changed it to bad boy. Like in between giving my vows to the producers, somehow it got moved to bad boy, and I read it and I was like, shit, like I'm gonna get laughed at for this. And then people were like, oh, he looks like a regional accountant, he doesn't look like a bad boy. And I'm like, oh, come say that to my face then. But yeah, I got totally stitched on the vows. But I'm definitely personable, and that's back to the sales. Do you know what I mean? Back to the sales background and meeting different, I'm meeting probably anywhere from 3 to 5 different people every day and essentially selling myself, like, because that's what sales is. It's, they're not buying the product, they're buying you.
You're right. Like, I think sales and being trustworthy, that's a big component. And you're very honest and very genuine. And not only wear your heart on your sleeve, you wear a skull on your shoulder. Like, can you sort of unpack? You've fucking got a lot of tattoos. And that's what I mean. Like, you're such a nice dude. But upon looking at you, I think, man, is this going to guy going to kickbox me in the head Muay Thai style? Or is actually, no, he's not. He's actually such a lovely bloke. But what inspired all the tattoos?
Again, so I went to I had no tattoos. So this was, during my Thailand stint. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a tattoo on my rib. So I started on my rib and then just slowly covered my whole body, basically. There's just a little bit on my legs that aren't covered. But over the 2 to 4 year period of staying in Thailand and going back there, I somehow managed to cover my complete body with tattoos. I don't know if it's an ADHD thing or if it's a trauma response. I don't know. But yeah, I somehow managed to cover myself.
I got a theory. I've got two, and I've always wanted to get a third because I love the two. I was happy with the two, but they were never perfect. And I think I was always chasing that third one to make it even better. And then the third, oh, fuck, I've got a better idea and a better idea, and you just keep going. Do you find that?
What if, I think I was trying to just match it up. So, like, my left arm's, like, Greek mythology, which I love. The right arm's Japanese. My back's, like, Roman. So, like, I was just matching up, like, different things I'm kind of interested in, if that makes sense. Like, I've got a Viking ship on my foot because, like, I love the Viking history. But I'm very impulsive. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, oh, I watched Vikings and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a Viking ship on my foot. Like,
why not get the poster on the wall instead?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But so, yeah, full of tats, mate.
All right. So you did say something about, you know, people seeing you on the street. How has that been? Like, how have you dealt with being spotted and, you know, what's been happening there?
I didn't like expect it. So like after my first episode aired, walking in like the shopping center and then just like being spotted, I was just like, oh wow, like a lot of people like watch this show. Like I couldn't walk from one end to the shopping center to the other without getting stopped and asked for selfies. And I just be me. I'm just me. Like I'm just, yeah, I can't be anyone other than me. And I'm I give them the time of day and just have a chat. And if they want to chat about like the show, like I'll try and be respectful to Maddie and just be like, if they ask me a question, answer it. But I didn't understand the gravitude of how big this show was. And I don't know if it's because I've got a good guy edit and everyone wants to know, or self-proclaimed good guy edit, but I am a good guy. But I don't know. I think it's because of, again, back to what we were saying before, with me and Maddie's, like our experience was just so wacky that people want to know about it, right? So I don't know if like just more people have seen those little episodes, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, maybe we can give what we want. Like, what's been the most common question or comment on social media that's like, hey, curious to know?
Did she really cry over cows? Was she really hearing voices? Is she an actor? Were you an actor? Was that legit? Et cetera, et cetera. So I get the same questions over and over.
Here's the opportunity. Like, for example, there might be a point where you get tired of answering these questions. So
I'll tell them to you.
Here's the opportunity to go, right, check out this podcast instead. Here it is.
Yeah, here it is. So, yeah, the main questions are, did she really cry over cows? And the answer is yes, she absolutely did start crying over cows. Did it come out of nowhere? Yes, it came out of nowhere. We were walking down just going to have a look at the cows and she started bawling her eyes out. Absolutely happened that way. Then we're at the dinner. When we're having dinner, did she start hearing voices? Yes, she did. Was I caught off guard? Absolutely. Did I have any idea what was going on? I had no idea what was going on. I was like, who's talking to you? Like, they're talking to you now. And she's like, yes. I was like, oh, okay. This is really happening. So the way that it was shown on TV is exactly how I experienced it.
How many times have we had to tell that story?
I think I've been asked that over 500 times, honestly. 500 times. I've explained it about 500 times.
Fuck, man. Like, I've found, a lot of people, you know, spot in the street, say good day, little things like that. A lot of people fucking give me the double look. Yeah, especially when doing my groceries. A lot of people leave me alone.
Well, I think it's starting to die down now. Like, not people, you're not frame of mind. Like, they're not running after. Well, they're not running after me. Like, so like people do the double look, but you can tell when you're spotted, right? And the eyeballs are on you, you know. But 99% of people are fine. You get the odd idiot that says something stupid, or they're just
like, angry. What's been the craziest shit? What have they said?
Oh, for me, really, no, not much. Just like, wanker or something along those lines. And
really?
Turn a blind eye. Yeah, but you get that everywhere. Like, it's people that are doing bad in their lives. Like, no one that's doing good in their lives is getting on a Facebook comment and saying, oh, Ben, you are such a bad person. And like, no one is doing good in their life is doing that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like they're this... all just obviously upset at something in life, or they're not doing well, or
yeah.
And that's the way they vent. They just say, Ben's a shitter person than me.
So I remember Kevin Hart saying that, like, you don't see Michael Jordan in the comment section on YouTube. You know, I'm going to tell you how I fucking feel. No successful person wastes their time in the comment section. Like dumping, like maybe a little smart ass thing here and there, but like dumping a fucking novel of what they're doing.
Yeah, like even for me, like, do you know what I mean? Like I was portrayed as somewhat of a nice guy, as I've said before, and I still get comments like, oh, he looks weird. He's a weird looking guy. He's got weird eyes. Look how short he is. Like, oh, he looks like a wanker. Like, it's like you're really going out of, like, you're taking time out of your day to like bring someone down. To me, I will never get that. Like, I will never get that. Like, how can you do that? I don't know. Like, even if I dislike someone so much on TV and then I see them pop up on Facebook, I just wouldn't do it. Do you know what I mean? I'll just keep it to myself. And then you think,
if that person has ever been in the spotlight, or doesn't have to be fame or TV, but they might have been front and center at the workplace, you know, and had to respond to group emails or whatever it is, you're going to get feedback, and feedback isn't always bloody roses. Feedback is a part of being imperfection. Like, no one's perfect. But if you're going to just concentrate on the bugs on the wing still instead of the, like, the beautiful journey in front, I think that's what people in the comments section do. They don't see all the positive that's staring them right in the face. They just see all this negative shit and have to highlight that. And it's hard. Like, they get stuck in that. Well, this is some people, you know, stay in the comments section for fucking fun, and it's funny. And if it was
they're trolls. Yeah, they're trolls. Yeah. They're trolls.
But yeah.
Unless you've married a stranger and like put yourself out there to me, like I don't want to hear it. Do you know what I mean? Even like family, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Like, you don't actually know what it's like standing up there, and then you're like, you don't know what, like, we go through. You don't know how long the days are. And I think that's why we all stick together. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know if we're all just traumatized or what it is. Like, you have that bond with the other couple, not everyone, but you have that bond with the other couples.
It's a shared experience. Like, I'll never know what it's like to run on a footy field, you know, and have fucking 50,000 people cheer if you kick a goal or score a try. I can watch the game. I understand the rules. I love it. I sit back as a spectator and appreciate it, but I'll never know what it's like to be in that particular arena. And, you know, to be in that particular arena of being on the biggest show in the fucking country, it's so hard. And then I know what happens behind the scenes, and it's hard to articulate that to friends and family. And that's the thing, like, we got that shared experience of like, fuck, man, that's a hectic roller coaster, which is really hard to articulate in a sentence, you know. Or if someone meets you, oh, what's a show like? You think, I've got 30 seconds to try to summarize something so complicated. And it needs to be someone with a very broad, open mind to be able to truly digest it. It's so hard. I mean, but that's spot on. You know, or people who've been on another reality TV show would get it also.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't know what it's like to be backstage and just the hours that you're waiting, and like no one knows what goes into the show. It's a well-oiled machine. It's freaking everyone on that set's got a job, then they know what they're doing, and everything's just well-oiled. But unless you've gone through it, you will never know. And like, even just from my experience, like standing on the altar, like, it was so nerve-wracking. I was like, how did I get here right now, where I'm about to turn around and meet a stranger? Like, everything I've done in my life has led me to this period now. And I'm like, oh, like, is it really worth it? I was thinking that before I turned around. I'm like, what about if she runs away? Like, just so many emotions you go through.
Mate, got a few more things I want to ask you. It is math related, but what would be the number one message for the fans of maths that they are not aware of?
Message about me?
Nah, just like something about Married at First Sight that you know that you really want to go, hey, this is the truth.
That's a good question. You've caught me off guard here. In terms of like my experience or
just anything, because if you sort of maybe I need to rephrase the question a bit more. Like, so for me, everyone's got an opinion on things. people, like I said, like that spectator watching a sport, thinking, I would have done this. Oh, they should have punched, you know, should have passed the ball here. But they've never played the bloody game. You know, so it's easy for someone to sit back in the lounge room going, oh, why didn't Ash do this? Or why didn't the show be like that? Or knowing what you know behind the scenes, what would be that number one message that you'd really like to say to someone, hey, this is what reality TV is really like?
Then that is a good question. I'd put it from my experience, and like what the show shows the viewers is they make up, we are characters, right? So like you're a character, I'm a character, Jack's a character. So just let's say you and Jack, for instance, used two of the, we'll call you villains, right? For the show's perspective, but they're only showing you what they want the viewers to see. But me, I've seen backstage, I've seen the way you are, seen the way Jack is. So I know who the real Ben and Jack are, and it's not what you see on TV. So the answer would be, don't believe everything you see on TV, because it's actually a TV show. It's not reality. Do you know what I mean? So like, just be kind. Do you know what I mean? And I know the show's finished, but for next year, like there's the people on there, like what you're seeing, it's not a version of reality. It's literally a TV show. And people need to just remember that. And if they're watching this, like, just remember that thing that Ash said. It's literally a TV show.
Well, it's funny you say that, because some people have blamed their edit. They've come out, they've sort of subscribed to, when everything's gone roses for their edit, they're really happy about it. And then when they get a rough edit, like, oh, that's you know what I mean? So it's I agree with what you're saying, but there are some cast members that will go, that's 100% as is. They got it absolutely correct. Where other people, when it's not favorable, they'll blame the edit. You know what I mean? But I lean to what you're saying. I think you're correct. With there is a lot of truths to what you see, but you're not seeing a whole picture to what the show actually shows. And you can pick up even in the editing with the voiceovers. So they can edit out different words and create sentences, especially when there's a pan shot, without them actually speaking the words. I mean, this message is spoken so many people for many years, and still I find, and I was guilty of it because I barely watch reality TV. You know, it's not until you watch it and you go, right, I've seen the way they were to make this scene equate to this outcome, but it wasn't as it occurred.
It's not till
precisely.
You're on it. Yeah, it's not
it
till
was
you're
manipulated,
on it.
Heightened, or as I sort of described before, like you can actually make 2 + 2 actually equal 5. Yeah,
it's
has
100%.
That
and I because you watch yourself obviously closely. Like even at the reunion, like I was close to Jono and Ali, sitting next to them. And then they cut to them, and then they cut back, and then I was at the other end of the table, but it was in the same scene. But because I was watching myself so intently, I'm like, hey, I'm down the other end of the table, but you're saying that's the same conversation. Do you know what I mean? But no one's probably going to pick that up because they're not looking at me in the green shirt as closely. But if you actually follow it, and then so, yeah, you can't, it is like, yeah, it is edited. So it's like no one's denying that. But
there was a TikTok going around with a scene with Jaden in it. I was on like home visits or some shit, but they showed the sequence of their conversation, and then they had food on the table, and the food miraculously moves, and then it was full. Like I had a full drink, and then an empty drink, and then food was eaten, then half eaten. So like the order of to which this was spoken is out of order to create whatever the fuck they wanted to create. So it's just about highlighting those moments where you're thinking, hang on, that's not fucking getting the whole picture, that's getting strategically edited parts to make that specific outcome. So yeah, it's a good message. It's so hard to articulate to certain people if you're unaware of it. But when you break it down, it can sometimes take 20 minutes before to sit down someone who hadn't watched reality TV and go, fuck, this is what occurs. You know?
Yeah, it is. It is. Will they ever get it? Don't know, maybe.
Mate, got a few more questions. What's your biggest regret?
On the show or in life?
Both. Anything.
Biggest regret. That's a deep one. I'd I'd say probably not giving my all, as I said, to previous relationships that potentially had hope to be something more meaningful. I definitely let a lot of people down, and I definitely regret that. I'm not happy about that.
Who did you let down?
Oh, just people I had dated in the past, you know, that definitely could have turned into something potentially good. Just as I said, having one foot in, one foot out, and just being scared of being hurt. So I protected myself and in doing so hurt others. So that would have to be my biggest regret.
Is it letting down their expectations or your own as a man?
Letting down mine, yeah. So like just being like, you could, the way I say it is like being a coward at the time and just, yeah, being so scared of being hurt that I was willing to like hurt someone else and not give them my full authentic self. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what someone wants. They want you to just be you. And if you're too scared to do that, then you're a coward.
Were you happy within yourself at those times?
Was I happy? I mean, that's a loaded question. Is anyone ever really happy 100% with themselves? No. I'd probably say no. Like, am I fully 100% happy now? No. Am I aiming to be happy? Yes. That's the end goal. Will I get there? Don't know. I hope so. But yeah, no, I wasn't happy then. Like, are you happy? Are you doing like okay in life? I know.
Me?
I'm flipping the script.
No. I'm very happy at the moment. I've been in severe depression many years ago. I know what darkness is and how it can feel. I've been there in its fucking enormity. And that's what makes me so happy now, because things are fucking great and I'm grateful on a daily basis. And that's made me in love, got my health. I've got so much road ahead of me. So therefore I'm so grateful. I've fucked up in the past. But that's my journey, you know, and this is where I'm at the moment, mate. We're having a podcast right now. Doesn't cost me anything. With a fucking super interesting person. I'm going to have dinner with my girlfriend tonight, who's now living with me, Aileen. You've met her a few times. Mate, I'm smiles, but that's what happiness means to me, because I'm very grateful for these moments.
Yeah,
because I've been in a shit situation where I'm like, that was fucked. I'm not in that now. So therefore, like, every day I wake up and like a smile on my face.
It's a really good perspective, and I think the listeners or the viewers should definitely take that on. And because once you've been in that dark place, you know what shit is, right? And then it's once you're out of it, you're like, oh, well, it's fucking like, look where I am now. What does happiness mean to me? Being on a beach in Thailand, having just did a 2-hour session. Sitting with my girlfriend, having a swim, going to do another training session, and then planning dinner. For me, I'm a very simple guy, mate. Like, I don't want to look, I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to, I just want to live abroad, live in Thailand, have enough money to pay for a roof over my head, food to eat, see my family, and I'm a happy guy.
You see, I listen to a lot of millionaires speak. And I've taken on so much of the information, and a lot of them say all that stuff. Like, those little basics that don't cost a lot really fill up some people's cup. But I do want to be a millionaire. I would love to be. I'd happily do that. But I'd find, like, what would I do? Like, once I got to spend all my millions of dollars, traveled around the world, which I've already done, so I'd fucking continue doing that. But I've been unhappy living my life as I wanted, traveling the world, because I always had a fucking void. Yeah, but that's my happiness. That's my journey at the same time. So maybe you and I might share something similar there, because, mate, I'm not a millionaire, but I'm happy as fuck.
Some people, if you ask them, say, what makes you happy? They can't answer that. They're like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? But I know, like, if I was to have, like, money, I'd live on a beach somewhere. That's happiness to me.
Mate, got a few more things I'd love to ask you. Two more, and then we'll play a bit of a game.
I
want to finish on a high note. Come on. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've seen on Facebook, I think it was Yahoo's picked up and made an article about you, your ring's for sale. What is going on?
Do you want it? Do you know a buyer? Do you know someone?
Oh, mate, not yet. I'm actually thinking about doing the same thing. I've pinched so much shit from the show as much as possible. Like, you know,
oh, don't
the
say
leap.
that. They'll come after you. They'll come after you.
Bring it on.
No, you meant that, you know, so much stuff ended up in your suitcase. You don't know how it got there.
All the leave cards. We did the challenges. Like when they get a letter and you got to open it up, and like, you know, dear Ben and Ellie, blah, blah, blah. I nicked all that. I took as much shit from their fucking apartment as I could. The ring, yeah. So I might do the same thing. I might put it up for sale. $5,
I
maybe.
do it. Mine was purely a piss take. It was the first day we got our social media back, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna put it up for sale. I'm gonna see if there's anyone takes the bite. And to tell you the truth, I got a few laughs out of it, which was quite funny, and that's all I wanted.
That's fucking
But
good.
I mean, I think the highest bid is £70, which is probably 100 and something Aussie dollars. So yeah,
Fuck, man,
not
if
that
I got
much.
offered that, I'd post it. For me, I'd sell it. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what it means to me.
I do think it is probably a bit cursed. I think it's cursed.
All right. You have mentioned, oh, where'd you go? Someone's calling me. We'll ignore that phone call. Where'd you go, Ash?
I'm here. You can't see me.
Oh, where'd you go, buddy? Hang on. Where are we? Oh, I'm gonna. There we go. Back on the air.
You
So
got
that's
me?
how professional this podcast is. Someone calls me and it just changes the whole screen. I've met Steph. Beautiful girl.
Thank
Do
you.
tell. What? How'd yous meet? Do tell. And then what's happening here?
Yeah, so it was a nice message that had crept into my inbox saying, "Hope you're okay." I'd known her from back in the day, from back in my 20s, my let's call them younger years. Always had a bit of a crush on her, but we always had like partners, like we from the same town. So like we dated people, the people we were dating, we knew each other, like we knew of, so never really pursued it. The opportunity came up. I'm like, do you want to go on a date? Went on a date and just everything just clicked. And yeah, mate, really happy. So things are going well.
Where do you see yourself in a couple of months?
A couple of months, I think we'll have. We're going to be puppy parents. We're getting a golden retriever, which is fun. So hopefully in Thailand. Nah, don't know. In a few months, don't know. Taking it week by week for now.
Well, my 40th is on next month. I know I'm in Newcastle and you're away in Melbourne, but.
I'd seen
Yeah, I
that
know
invite. I
it's
had
a
seen that
bit of a
invite.
mission. I understand
Yeah.
if you don't want to be there. It's just a newie. We're gonna have dinner and drinks and stuff, but obviously you guys are more than welcome to come along. But yeah, it's be one expensive
We are
trip for a
definitely gonna.
birthday.
I haven't told her yet, but we'll definitely try and get there, mate. I promise you that.
Yeah. Well, let's play the game. And the
Let's
game
go.
is I'm gonna say a word and you gotta say the very first thing that pops in your mind.
All right, shit. Let's go. I'm nervous now.
All right. Lauren.
Shit, the dogs are barking. Good timing there.
Oh, nice excuse.
Steph's just walked in. Well, the dogs know evil.
Hang on. Do you have to muzzle those dogs?
No, they should be all right. They should be all right. I just got that then. First thing
Hey.
that comes to mind, no comment.
All right. First
No
thing that's come to
comment.
mind, Lucinda.
Beautiful.
Jack.
Nice guy.
John Aiken.
Puppet.
OnlyFans.
Not for me.
Damn, I want to see your naked ass. I thought maybe it could be on the cards. Bit of a side hustle. All right. Paparazzi.
Good people.
Who's your favorite?
I think Ali.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, good guy. He's
Ali
hopefully
from the
watching
Daily
this.
Mail. All right,
Yeah.
first thing to pop in mind, having a download.
First thing, Traumatic.
Two more. Cows.
Love them. Love to eat them.
The last one. Online trolls.
Losers.
Nailed it. Well, Ash, mate, thanks for the chat. Smashed it. We've had, mate, you shared some pretty good insights there, I think, in terms of your personality and some of your backstory. And I think personally, you've got an absolute heart of gold. What the next few months will be, I reckon you're going to be kicking more goals than just getting a golden retriever. I think you're going to be doing, I think this year is just going to be full of growth and potential for you. So I'm pretty stoked for you, dude.
And back for you too, mate. Like up and up. Sorry, the dogs are distracting me.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, likewise to you, mate. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. It's been a good yarn. Definitely enjoyed it.
Legend. See you, buddy. We'll be in touch.
Right. Cheers, mate.
You made it to the end of the podcast. All right. You know the drill. Give us a like, subscribe, or leave some juicy comments. And thank you so much for listening to Get Lost with the Travel Guide, where we talk all things travel, tourism, and adventure. See you next time.